again, Merry Christmas. And I want to pause right here and welcome those who join us each week online. Come on, everybody. Let's give them a heartfelt welcome. We're so glad you're with us today. And today, we're going to open part two of our two-part little series here for Christmas. And there are, in your worship guide, there are some blank notes there that you can take notes. I encourage you to do that. There's no fill in the blank. There's just a lot of blanks that you can follow along with us today. I hope everybody is ready for Christmas. Usually when you say, are you ready for Christmas, we mean, did you get all your Christmas shopping done? But I hope that's more to it than that for you. I hope that you are taking opportunities that God is affording you during this season. Especially hope that you're utilizing those acts of kindness cards. If you still need those are still available, where you can take those and do a random act of kindness, connect it to God and His church, where people can connect to God and connect with good people and have a healthy relationship. I encourage you with that. I want to you just enjoyed a kind of humorous video there as we looked at a little reality check on the 12 days of Christmas. And so you think about Christmas gifts, it's a big part of this season. It's a big part of what stresses us out this season, to be able to get to where we need to get to and to buy the stuff we need to buy or go online. Many of you, I think the whole world now just goes online. The mailman is Santa Claus. He brings everything that goes under the tree. I believe everything comes through the mailman or UPS or some delivery service. But gifts are a big part. I actually saw a lady this week who was at the back of an SUV, and she was pulling out this big, huge, clear container that was just filled full of presents, and they were overflowing, and she was trying to get up to this house with all of these wrapped presents for Christmas. And I realized that it wasn't just about carrying those to the door for her. It was what all the work that went into getting those gifts ready. Christmas Day seems to be all about getting to the tree, opening the gifts. Sometimes we open them on Christmas Eve when they're real special. We actually had some gifts put under our tree this week. My son, Theron, he put some gifts under there. And, of course, we have a puppy dog, a poodle dog, that likes to investigate things. And so my wife heard the dog in there near the tree, and the next thing she knew, he had one of the gifts, brought it into the other room, and was going ahead and unwrapping the gift in his own way. And Kim said, I'm not looking. I don't know whose gift it is, but you better get in here because he's got one of the gifts. Ended up being his gift. It was a gift for the dog, so I guess he knew which one to get. But it's a crazy time as we buy gifts, but if we're not careful, though, we're missing the greatest gift of all in the midst of our hurriedness and our craziness. And when we're experiencing all this craziness, everyone, when you look at Christmas, and it's for many of us, it's not this Hallmark kind of setting where everything is perfect. Have you ever noticed Hallmark have perfect people, perfect houses, perfect everything is just perfect? And yet some of us, our Christmas is probably more connected to National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation story, that one, where it's just kind of crazy. Where you have those, anybody familiar with that movie? And you have these chainsaw moments where the father had just about lost it, and he got the chainsaw, and he was going crazy, and they were afraid to get near him. He was going to cut the tree down in the front yard after his caught on fire inside the house, and long story. But, we have those moments where basically what I'm saying is we sing this song, Silent Night, but all is calm and all is bright. But you're saying, not for me, it's not, right? But I just want to say today, there is a gift that is for you. And that's what I've kind of titled this installment, that this gift is for you. Where you say, I'm not really having a very Merry Christmas, and it's definitely not peaceful. Yet we sing the songs about peace, And we use the expressions peace on earth, but few of us oftentimes experience it. It's not merry and it's not peaceful. But the Bible describes peace as something that is a commodity that every Christian should be experiencing. And it is available to everyone who will receive this gift. And so last week we talked about this gift of peace. And today I want to make it a little more personable. And I want to talk about the fact that this gift is for you. And it all started with this announcement of angels to shepherds. It's found in Luke chapter 2. Let me share that with you, where it says that suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth," the way we've always heard it is, "peace on earth, goodwill towards men." But what it actually says, if you look at the translation of it, what it really is saying is, "on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." So we know the fact that Jesus didn't necessarily come to bring peace on earth. In fact, he even alluded to that in Scripture. We talked about that last week. If you missed that, I encourage you to go back and listen to that again. But what Jesus came is so that on this earth that is not peaceful, because we know this earth is not a peaceful place. There's turmoil all over the earth. But on this earth that's not peaceful, you and I can still have peace. So what we're really looking for is the peace comes to those on whom God's favor rests. So how do we get favor? Again, we talked about that last week. And this peace, this gift, I want us to understand this morning, is a gift that Jesus worked very hard for. And he wrapped it up for you to have. Jesus said, "I have a gift for you." In fact, John chapter 14 verse 27 says this. It says, "I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid." So he is giving us a gift. And I want to just say today, that gift is available. You can walk out of here today with that peace. You may have come in here stressed out, but you can walk out of here in perfect peace. And I'm believing that's going to happen today. We're going to have a time of communion at the conclusion of this message. We're going to have a time of worship, some time for prayer, and just going all in. And I want to tell you, there is peace that is available. That peace is available. As we look at this, look at this scripture and this idea of peace. I want us to see that when we look at this peace that has come to us in the form of a gift, and that gift is Jesus Christ himself. When we look at the prophecy of Jesus, and I want to take us back to prophecy that's found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, but this prophecy was written, listen to this, 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah the prophet prophesied. In fact, there was 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. Listen to this, 300 prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus and his birth and his life and his death, and all were fulfilled, detailing, again, his birth, his life, and his death. Now, some of you may have taken this thing in college called quantitative analysis. And it's where you put in formulas to figure out probabilities. And when you look at the probability of the prophecies being fulfilled, and again, there was 300 of them. Well, let's just say there was only eight prophecies that were fulfilled. The chances of that in probability of eight of those, now again, there was 300, but only eight of those being fulfilled, the probability is 10 to the 17th power that they would be fulfilled. That's 100,000 trillion. So a trillion is 1,000 billion. It's 100,000 billion. As we used to say as kids, it's a zillion, okay? Let's call it a quadrillion. It's 1 and 17 zeros. That's only 8. If 48 were fulfilled, it's 10 to the 157th power. That's 1 and 157 zeros, okay? He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yet, 300 prophecies were fulfilled, folks. He is the Son of God. In fact, one person said it's like this. If you were to take the whole state of Texas and cover the entire state of Texas in quarters 3 feet deep, and you go and you pick out, you have one that's painted red, and you got to pick out that one, and you reach down out of all those, and you pick it out. Come on, that's the probability. I want us to see this. But look at this. Look at this scripture that's found in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 that says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When you look at that translation, Prince of Peace, that's our English words, but in the Hebrew it says Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. I want us to break this out in that there's two words there. Sar, representing prince. We have the word prince that we use, but really what it really means is the one in charge, meaning he is the Lord or the chief or the general. It's way more than royalty. Czar, they actually took the word czar and they took the word and turned it into czar, and they took the word Caesar. Caesar, we spell it C, right? C-E-A-S-E-R, Caesar, which is where that comes from. It means the one in charge. And the second word there, peace, is the word shalom, which means rest or tranquility. It also brings into play these words of wholeness and completeness and contentment. So if you put those two together, what it means is he is the captain of rest. He is the general. He is the one in charge of contentment. Isn't that great? If you need contentment and you need peace, I want to refer you to the one who is the Prince of Peace. He is the Sar Shalom. He is the Lord of Peace. The truth is this morning, that is that Jesus, he himself, is peace. He is it. It is not something he just offers. It's not something he just has in his Santa bag, okay? It's not something that he just gives to you that's beside him. He is peace. I want you to get that. He is the Prince of Peace. He is peace himself. John 14, 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." He says, "My peace I give to you." I'm giving myself to you. I got a few more verses I want to just go through. Look at Romans with me. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have," look at this, "peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You cannot separate peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. They go together. He is what brings peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 4 and 8. Psalm 4 and 8 says, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell safely." Look at Psalm 29 and verse 11. "The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." Are you seeing this? He is the Prince of Peace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13 and 14 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." For Christ himself, there it is, for he is our peace. He is our peace. So it's impossible to have peace without connecting powerfully, authentically, and genuinely, and personally in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is peace. Does anybody know that to be true? Can you give him praise this morning? Amen. Amen. He is our peace. So what is peace? If you were to ask the question of everyone, you know, what is peace? You would get different answers on that. Some feel like, you know, it's an emotional state where you just feel peaceful. Some would answer it's the absence of conflict. And while that sounds good, if I could just not have all this conflict, then I would have peace. Actually, it's not really the absence of that, because you could have an absence of a lot of things and still not have peace. So I would just present to you, it's not the absence of something, but it's the presence of something. Let me put it to you this way. It's not just the presence of something, it's the presence of someone. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. My goal this morning is that you know Sar Shalom. And when you know Sar Shalom, when you know the Prince of Peace, peace is a byproduct. We pursue Jesus and we find peace. The Bible says to seek peace and pursue it. What it's really saying there is seek Jesus and you'll know peace. Jesus himself said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things. And that includes peace and joy and love. Come on, and fulfillment in life and everything that you need in life will be added unto you, right? Seek peace and pursue it. Seek Jesus and pursue him. So peace is not the absence of something. It's the presence of someone. It means that when there's a lot of stuff going on around you that's craziness, there's still an ability to have peace in the midst of that. It's where the disciples were on the boat and they found Jesus asleep in the hinder part, the Bible calls it, of the boat. He was asleep and they were in the middle of a storm and they thought they were going to die. And Jesus was the perfect picture of peace, asleep in the midst of it all. And he woke up and said, why are you so troubled? In other words, no matter what the sea looks like around you, as long as Jesus is on the boat, you got nothing to worry about. Jesus said, don't be afraid, don't be troubled. I got this, amen, and I got you. And you can have peace in the midst of it all. I want to give you three truths this morning that will guarantee you peace. I'm going to put some guarantee on this. If he is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the one in charge of contentment, the captain of rest, then here is the key of how to activate that in your own life. You can't just know of him. You can't just know he's the guy that we celebrate at Christmas time that came to this earth over 2,000 years ago and we, you know, we get into this Christmas thing and we do all the stuff that we saw in this as we shared the video about all the activities that surround Christmas and know him. Listen, you've got to come into a relationship with him. It's more than that. You've got to call him Lord. So number one, write this down. So in other words, Jesus came, but how do we respond to him? How do we respond to this gift? What is our part in this? God's done his part. What is our part? Number one, get under the lordship of Jesus. Get under the lordship of Jesus. See, a lot of people call him Lord, but they're not under that lordship. They're not under that. So there's a difference. A lot of times when people are coming into Crosspoint, a couple things that I recommend to them. I recommend Bait of Satan by John Bevere. Like, be aware of offenses. That's just a standard thing I recommend because that's the bait that Satan loves to use in church, especially to pull people away. Another one that is written by him is called Undercover, being under his authority, being under his lordship. And God puts people in places even to represent him in the church and in the body of Christ, to be in a position of being submitted to authority where there's a protection in that, right? There's a protection in that. There's a shelter. Let me put it that way. It's a shelter. I've been out in the rain before when it starts to rain, and I'll find that there are some trees that have this canopy that have such foliage on them. I can get under that tree, and I can be protected from the downpour of all, you know, the rain because there's a cover there. There's a shelter there. Let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is a shelter in the storm. He is a safe place. When we're under him, listen, there's protection there. But for many of us, we're not under that shelter. We're under our own decisions. We're under our own power and our own will and what we want to do. You say, I don't want to be under the lordship. I'm going to do what I want to do. In fact, you see it even sometimes within the body of Christ. You know, I can almost sense the people that I can speak into their life and the people I can't speak into their life. There's people that are very receptive to having someone speak into their life. There's others that say, no, you can't tell me. There's that rebellious spirit. I'm going to do what I want to do. Who are you? You're not perfect. I mean, you know, and yet the Lord puts us in places, and you're in those places where you have opportunities. God's put you in places to be able to speak into people's lives. But there's many people that are so rebellious, you can't speak into their life. Or let me put it this way, God can't speak into their life because they're not under that shelter. They're under their own shelter, calling their own shots. Acts 10 and 36 says this, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, look at this, who is Lord of all. Who is Lord of all? So can I do what I want and still have peace? The answer is no. There's many of us that want to be rebellious and be outside the lordship of Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, there's nothing outside of his lordship that gives you peace. It's only when you surrender your life. See, surrendering to Jesus isn't just coming down and saying a prayer and signing a card and saying, well, I took care of that. No, it's more than that. It's more than just a belief system. It is declaring him as Lord of my life so that he has right to every area, every compartment of my life. He has right to come in and put his finger on anything, anytime he wants to in my life and say, son, you need to correct this, and that's wrong, and that's wrong. So I'm submitting completely to the lordship of Christ. In that place, there is peace. There is peace knowing that I'm surrendered completely to him because my way isn't the best way. We think it is, but his way is the best way. And when we submit to him, we surrender our will to his will, and we find the best way for our life. So many of us, we want to step out under that covering. And it's, by the way, it's the covering of his righteousness, not our righteousness. It's not about us just doing all the right things. It's him, his covering, that he's covered us. So I want to give you another verse, and with it, a promise that there is a fruit that will come when you stay under his righteousness, and that fruit is peace. When you submit your marriage, when you submit your finances, when you submit your morals, when you submit your action and your ways and your will to the lordship of Jesus Christ, the effect will be quietness and confidence. Look at Isaiah chapter 32. It says, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. Verse 18, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places and secure homes in undisturbed places of rest. We need to get under the lordship of Jesus Christ, right? Number two, we need to bring Jesus into every situation. So number one, get under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Number two, bring Jesus into every situation. So we're good sometimes at compartmentalizing. Well, I do this on Sunday and I do this on Monday. This is Sunday school. This is Monday school. This is me in church. This is me in traffic. This is me at church. This is me at home. This is me at church. This is me at work, right? And we compartmentalize, and that's not good. We need to bring Jesus into our marriage, into our finances, into our family, into our job. Bring Jesus into everything. Bring Jesus, come on. Bring Jesus into the mall. Bring Jesus into your shopping. Bring Jesus. We need Jesus there, trust me, right? We need Jesus where everything's going crazy, where people are cutting you off and you want to respond in your way. And I suggest and recommend highly that you respond his way. Bring Jesus into every situation. And I tell you, there are some situations this time of year. I'm thinking of a family right now who just a few weeks ago heard the news that their 23-year-old son was tragically killed in a car accident. And what does their Christmas feel like this year and look like this year? I know a co-worker who went home from work and found her spouse dead from a brain aneurysm, just gone, just like that. You know what? I remember some years ago I was in a work environment and I had Christmas music playing. Now, who doesn't like Christmas music during Christmas, okay? I mean, it's Christmas season. I had Christmas music playing. I didn't have it in the ears. I had it where other people could hear it, right? And this guy, he was like, turn it off, turn it off. He didn't want to hear it. He was tired of it, didn't want to hear it. His name was Bob. I called him Bob Humbug, but Humbug or whatever, you know. So, and then I found out the rest of the story. He had some in-laws that he lost during this season. This season's a sensitive time, and it's real. People are hurting. People are in pain. Everybody's not experiencing the Hallmark Christmas. For many, it's turmoil, and it's tough. But in the midst of that, I just say that we can bring Jesus Christ into every situation. where we say, God, we welcome your presence here. We welcome your peace here because he's the only one that makes sense out of it all. He's the only one that gives us a hope. He's the only one that gives us a promise of tomorrow. He's the only one that gives us a promise of life. Amen. He's the only one that promises that we can settle yesterday and we can have a tomorrow. He's the only one that by his precious blood, he can cover over all of our sins and mistakes of yesterday and write us in the Lamb's Book of Life and place upon us his robe of righteousness and put us under his cover. Amen. He's the only one that can do that. So we invite his presence. We bring him into every situation. Number three, keep your eyes or your mind on Jesus. Keep your mind on Jesus. And in this Bible, there are 31,103 verses in your Bible. And that's an odd number, 103. 31,103 verses in your Bible. That's an odd number. And so if you take the middle verse of the entire Bible, the center of the Bible, in other words, there's 15,551 verses on one side, and there's 15,551 verses on the other side, and there's one right in the middle, the center of the Bible. I want to give you that scripture. It's found in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 that says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Isn't that powerful? Can I just say, put that as a center of your life? To keep that God will keep you in perfect if you keep your mind on Jesus. Romans 15 and 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with joy by the power of the Holy Spirit." I want to read that one again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. So not just say, I trust that he's Lord, but that means that you're putting your life on him. That it's not just a belief system, you're following him with every area of your life. So that you may overflow with hope. I got a little hope. No, I'm overflowing with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. That's powerful. Where is peace? It's found in every area. It's submitting every area to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's when things are going wrong and difficult, you're saying, I've decided that I'm going to think about what is good and perfect and wholesome and just and all these things. I'm going to put my mind on those things that are pure and holy. And the result of that, the Bible teaches us, the result of that is his peace. Again, I'm going to say it again for probably a third time. Christianity is not a belief system. It's submitting to his lordship. And can I tell you that Jesus Christ demonstrated how to submit when he submitted his will to the will of the Father. Because Jesus didn't just come. You know, we celebrate baby Jesus. You hear that term around Christmas, baby Jesus. You know, baby Jesus. And we want to come see baby Jesus. I don't know why I'm talking this way, but it just comes out, okay? Baby Jesus. You got to say it like that, baby Jesus. But he's more than just a baby. He was a gift from heaven that was born with a purpose. He came as an innocent baby, but in humility, submitting to the will of the Father, came to take on human flesh, 100% man, 100% God, came to become sin for us, he who knew no sin, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, so sin was not within him. We did not have the Adamic nature handed down through him, through the bloodline. He was of holy descent, and he came to this earth for a purpose, and his purpose was for you and for me to seek and to save that which was lost, to take our sins upon himself, to be nailed to a cross. I know it's Christmas, but I cannot separate this story out. It wasn't just him laying in a manger. Oh, that's a wonderful gift, but his purpose was that he then live a sinless life and demonstrate to us how to live this life out. And then he went to the cross, and his hands were nailed. His feet were nailed to the cross. His back was whipped and beaten for you and I. A crown of thorns placed upon his head. A sword pierced in his side. He shed his blood. And the reason he did that, he did it as payment. He purchased your peace for you and I. He went to the cross to pay for all of our debt for all time so that we could forever and for all time live with him in perfect peace. Come on, everybody. He purchased our peace for us. And I just got to say, that peace is available. It's available. He is Sar Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. He comes as a gift to you and I. This is a gift for you. Peace is a gift for you. Jesus is the gift for you. I just encourage you this Christmas, unwrap this gift. Enjoy this gift. And see, some of us, we'll unwrap a gift, and then we forget about it. Have anybody got those gifts you've unwrapped, you set it aside, and you forgot where you put it, and it's somewhere else, and you find it, and it's still in perfect condition? Some of you might even take that, rewrap it, and give it to somebody else. I don't know if that work, if y'all do that. But you know, it's not just for unwrapping and saying, well, that's a nice gift. No, you need to get in there. You need to read the owner's manual about how that device works, right? When you open it up and you got to utilize it. Many of us have phones that we don't even know what all it will do because we haven't utilized everything on there, all the options that we have. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ, you'll never get to the end of discovering who he is. I encourage you to read the owner's manual and delve in and see how great God's love for you is, what peace you can have, what victory you can have. Come on, what power you can have in Jesus' name. Come on, what overcoming power it is available through Jesus Christ. Amen. When we put our faith in him and we declare him as Lord of our life and we say, today I'm making a decision, God, I'm following you. I want this peace in my life. I want you to be Lord over all. And can I just say this? You've heard me say this before and it's so true. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So I encourage you this Christmas, make him Lord of all. Make him Lord of all. Bow your heads with me. Father, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you that this year we celebrate every time, this time of year, this gift. God, I pray, help us, Lord, to receive, to respond, to do our part, God, and be an honorable recipient of your gift, Lord. Help us, oh God, to know how to follow you fully. And may you be truly Lord of all. May you truly be the Prince of Peace in our life as we receive you fully. Fully, God. Fully surrendering everything to you. My heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to give you this opportunity to receive this gift. You need to know peace, and it may be that you've never received this gift, or it may be you've received it, but perhaps you've not fully actualized this gift in your life, and you're not where you need to be, and there's things that have come in and have robbed you of your peace. I want to allow you the opportunity for him to restore that peace again. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. You're watching online. I invite you to join with us as well. You're in this house, you say, that's a prayer I need to pray. Would you signify that by simply lifting up a hand so I can know who's including in this prayer? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Would you just, from your heart, pray a simple prayer with me and invite him to come in, be Lord of all. Watching online, I invite you to join us. You're in this house, join us. I want to invite everybody to pray this out loud for support of those that really need to pray this. Come on, let's pray out loud. Come on, help me. Say, Jesus, thank you for paying for my sins, for purchasing peace for me. Today I receive you. Come in my heart. Heal my heart. Make me whole. Give me peace. I turn from my way. I surrender to your way because your way is best. I accept you now. Thank you for paying the price for everything so I could be free and experience life. I accept you now in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every person who's just accepted this gift called Jesus, this gift of salvation, this gift of peace and life. Lord, I praise you for what you are doing now. And now, Lord, I pray, the God of peace, would you flood their soul? Would you flood their heart? Would you flood their life? And this moment, and from this moment, day by day, help them now. Give them the strength, Lord, to follow you day by day in the paths of peace. And God, if you've established peace in us, therefore then make us peacemakers in this world who desperately needs peace. May we shine, Lord, even in this season and beyond this season, the light of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to this world. God, may you be glorified in all of it. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.